It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I honestly think the biggest issue with the Padres right now, though,
the media,
it's not
the media.
It's the media. It's not the players not caring enough. It's not even the mental mistakes that we've seen on the base paths, which are they do need to be cleaned up. But ultimately, that's a much easier fix than the biggest problem that I see with the Padres right now, and that is the lack of extra base hits. The reason the Padres didn't beat the Angels, they did not hit a home run in the series.
Manny got one.
That's right. They had one home run in the series. But they had only one extra base hit, I think, the last 2 days. Is that true? And it was a ground ball by Arise yesterday down the line. That was the only extra base hit. They had no extra base hits on Tuesday. They had the Manny home run for their one run in the first inning of the series. And after the first inning of the series, they did not have another home run. And then yesterday, they had the one ground ball double. They had no extra base hits on Tuesday. It's just hard to score runs when you have to do it single after single after single. I love passing the baton. That inning in Kansas City on Friday was amazing. That's not a recipe for sustained offensive success. You can't ask a team to have to put together five or six hits in an inning to get two or three runs. You have to be able to hit a home run. You have to have some doubles here or there. And the Padres, at least right now, have had almost no slug.
There's no
extra base hits.
And it's, you know, again, I do like bat to ball. I do like better than three true outcomes. I do. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying go get a team full of Kyle Schwarbers. It doesn't work. You got to have a little bit of everything on your squad. But, you know, it's not a secret that every year the team that hits the most home runs in the postseason wins the World Series. It's not an anomaly. It's the fact that you're going to be facing the elite of the elite, number one.
Yep.
And then when you get to the postseason, it's really the elite of the elite of the elite. They pare it down to only use their best. Stringing five, six hits together to score two runs against those guys is much more difficult. So one guy that can work a walk, the next guy can hit a two-run homer, one swing, two runs. That's just math. And so I'm not saying that we need to change our approach necessarily. I'm just saying getting maybe one more power bat would be great. But then again, I mean, who would that be? How much would they cost? And would they continue to do what they've done when they get to San Diego?
But you can't just say we just need to out-hit our opponents.
Correct.
The Padres have out-hit their opponents.
I tweeted this
last night, and it wasn't to make everybody mad. They have out-hit their opponents in all four games of this losing streak.
But also, man, when you make mistakes on the base paths, now you have to double what you do.
Correct.
Now, double your offensive output because you're running in outs all the time.
Correct. But if you're already out-hitting your opponents, and that's not helping you win games, maybe there needs to be a bit of a course correction.
It just, you know, the funny thing is I'm watching last night, Nando gets on, and I'm sitting there going, go. You want to be aggressive. You're the aggressive base running team. We're down a run, and you're standing at first with nobody out. And this fireballer on the mound, go. What better time than now to try to swipe a bag? Right there.
But if he gets thrown out stealing,
he was trying to get in a scoring position. If you're Mike Schilt, you can rest your hat on that.
Well, he did.
He ended up
getting there on a wild pitch by being patient.
So then if he gets on a wild pitch, then he's in scoring position. steal again, like get ready to try to win that baseball game, or at least in that case, tie that game. You want to be aggressive until you're not. Are you aggressive or are you not? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he steals second, then there's a wild pitch. Guess what? He's on third. Lazy fly ball ties the game. Ground ball to the right side ties the game, maybe. It just, that's the thing is, what better time than now to swipe a bag, and you don't. But, you know, taking extra bases, weird extra bases, overrunning bags, just stupid stuff.
If they're
going
to be a singles-hitting team, though, they're going to have to be aggressive on the base pass.
Correct.
They can't, Mike Schilt can't go and give them the red light. I know that you said, hey, if you're going to keep running into outs, maybe stop them from going. But that's you'll never win.
Leaper had the world's biggest stop sign on yesterday, and Arias just ran through it. So I don't know what you do there. You can't have a tether on them, shock them, get their ass back to the base.
Shock collar.
A shock collar? Just, like.
Pitch com for base running.
Pitch com for base running.
Go.
Don't go.
Don't go.
Dumb,
stop.
You dummy.
Stop.
Don't.
Stop.
So, I mean, yeah, dude. It's.
Don't do this.
Yeah, just at some point, you know. If you're going to play that game, then play that game, man. We need you. Don't tell me Fernando Tatis Jr. can't steal a bag there. I know that kid throws hard. He also can throw it all over the place, as we saw. So
let's not blame Tatis. He went 4-for-4.
Yeah,
last
no, I'm not blaming
tied
him.
His career
I'm not,
high.
I'm not blaming him at all. I'm just what I'm saying is like, is this the philosophy of the team or is it not? So that's it. It was a crap week to watch this team. A crap week indeed. And really, it all started on Friday night. I mean, even though they won those two games, it started. The decline of this week started 11-3, ninth inning, and that's where it started. And it's been the death spiral ever since. And now you got to find a way to get out of it, and figure it out tonight against the Diamondbacks. But it is brutal. It's a brutal watch right now.
All right, we need to have a little bit of fun. We need a contestant for real or fake here on a Throwback Thursday. If you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Share your memories from the 50s to the 90s for the Let's Go Retro photo contest at the San Diego County Fair.
Let's go retro.
Scooby-Doo.
I've never heard anybody say retro. Retro.
Retro. Scooby-Doo. Uh-oh. Your winning photo could win the Best of Show VIP Fair Access Package plus a $500 Visa gift card. The entry deadline is June 9th. Learn more at sdfair.com. And our real or fake winner is also going to win tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st, featuring Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall. Tickets are on sale now at sdfair.com.
Are you shooketh right now with Retro?
Retro.
Retro. Like that. All right, do I need to go?
No, this is real or fake.
Oh,
you
real
get
or
to
fake.
Stay. Yeah. You actually get to help.
I don't want to.
You want to play? Let's just play.
Yeah, let's play.
Get to it.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Just told you, so let's go with Carl here. Carl, welcome to Real or Fake. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. I'm the Ben, Paul, and Me guy.
Oh, I remember the promo when you can't remember who the third host is.
Oh,
that's a great one. It's one of my favorites of all time.
I bet it is.
Made me laugh. All right, Carl. Let's see if we get you a win.
Paul,
that other guy.
What's his name?
You know. That's fine.
All right, well, then you're going to be counting on that other guy to help you.
Absolutely not.
You're on Real or Fake.
Absolutely not.
Here's your category today. Everybody remembers Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yes.
But how much do you know about the other seven men out?
A lot.
With MLB gambling in the news this week, today on Real or Fake, I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if they were a real member of the Chicago Black Sox, banned from baseball for fixing the 1919 World Series.
Okay.
Or a fake I've made up to fool you. Woodsy looks very confident.
I am supremely confident.
Carl, you ready to play?
Sure.
All right, let's go with round one, real or fake. You need four out of the seven to win. Oscar Happy Felsch, real or fake, Carl?
I'm thinking fake.
Nope, it's real, dog.
Nope, that's all right. That's just one, though. Right, that's 0-for-1. Let's go to round number two. Woodsy does seem like he knows his stuff here. Claude Lefty Williams, real or fake?
Well, I'll use my lifeline, Woodsy.
Real.
He says real. Carl, you agree?
We'll go real.
He says real, and Woodsy is correct. That's one right. Let's go to round number three. Looking for members of the Chicago Black Sox. Charles Swede Risberg. Real or fake?
What was the last name?
Risberg.
Risberg.
What do you think, Woodsy?
Real.
Okay, we'll go real.
He's making it too easy on
him. I feel like
that's
a category like this, we need to give like
correct.
Three right. lifelines. You're going to have to get one.
Round number four, Heinrich Duke O'Rourke. Real or fake?
I'll go fake.
Well, that is good, fake. Sir. All right, that's
very
three.
Good.
All you need one more, and you're a winner. Let's go Earl Whitey Wallace. Real or fake?
I'll go real.
That one is fake. That's all right. We still have two more rounds. Let's go to George Buck Weaver. Real or fake?
Well, I'm leaning real, but what are you saying, Woodsy?
It's 100% real.
Well, I'm leaning real, so we'll go real.
It is real, and it's a win. Congratulations, Carl. Stay on the line. Paulie will get your information, remind you of all the names of the hosts of the show, and we'll set you up with those tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair. How do you know so much?
I've seen Aitman out like a thousand times.
You remember all the names, though.
I was so obsessed with them.
Arnold Chick Gandil.
Chick Gandil. Oh, he was great in the movie. First baseman. I watched that movie so much. I was so obsessed with it when I was in maybe like eighth grade. They had that game. There was some Nintendo game you could create a team. So I created the 1918. So many times. Yeah. I don't know the year. The 1919. I created them. I like sat and put in Chick Gandil, Buck Weaver, and you could, you know, make them really good or. I was obsessed with the Black Sox.
I had no idea you were so well-versed.
Just obsessed
on the rest of that team.
Bo and I watched Field of Dreams over the weekend, again, for the 100th time. And, boy, that's a tough. That's such a tough one to watch with your six-year-old.
I've seen Eight Men Out, but it was a long time ago.
It's such a brilliant baseball movie. It's brilliant.
All I know is the guys from Field of Dreams. Yeah, he winked at me. I don't know. What's the name of all those other guys that are out there? Don't wink, kid.
No, Bo's asking me, like, so wait. Who's all right? Moonlight Graham. Is that him? Yes. He's old though. Yes. Is that him? They pick up the next day. Uh huh. Well, how did he get young? It's just the next day. It's a movie. You're gonna have to suspend reality. What does suspend reality mean? Use your imagination. Okay. Wait. Terry. He's a writer. Why did he disappear in the corn? Is he coming back? Like, buddy, I've got no earthly idea. And apparently, whoever pitched this movie. They didn't want to answer any of those questions either. Right. So, and Hannah is looking at us going, this movie's the biggest piece of S of all time. And I go, you know what? It's not. Because we're laying there at the end. Of course. Dad, you want to have a catch? I'm sobbing uncontrollably.
She's right, though. It's not a, it's a dumb movie.
But it makes you have feels.
It's a great movie.
And isn't that what entertainment and art is about?
My favorite part of it, honestly, is he goes, why didn't you want to have a catch with your dad? He goes, it's when I read The Boat Rocker by Terrence Mann. He goes, it's not my fault. This is the kind of stuff that gets laid on me.
We had this conversation with Dylan Cease. You were talking about Kandinsky.
Yeah.
Like art that makes you feel something.
Yeah, feel something. Yeah. That movie makes me feel something.
It makes me feel something. So that, thus, it's a pretty good movie.
You know what Bo said to me? He goes, if I could have one wish in the whole world, he goes, I would want that baseball field in my backyard. He goes, and I said, well, what would you do? He goes, I would quit school. That's all he wanted to do, was just play on that field. And I was like, buddy, I wish more than anything I could make that happen for you. Because I would quit work. That's what we would do. We would just play on the field all day long. It is so beautiful. That movie gets me every
then
single time.
You know, your brother-in-law is going to foreclose on your farm because you're not working anymore. It's a bad scene. It's a bad scene.
Can you imagine me trying to be a farmer? The guy lost his crop again.
Yeah, Ray, not a good farmer.
Not a good farmer.
I was thinking about it. Four of the greatest baseball movies, or at least the most well-known baseball movies, all came out within a year of each other.
We need
Eight
more.
Men Out, 1988. Major League was 89. Bull Durham was 88. And then Field of Dreams in 89.
We need more of these. Eight Men Out is better than Field of Dreams. Yeah, it's different. It's a different movie. You get more. There's more feelings involved, certainly, with Field of Dreams, but yeah, I mean, I I love them all.
I think I said it was dumb. It's extremely cheesy.
Bro, we watched also, same weekend, watched For Love of the Game, which is a terrible movie.
I never liked that movie.
But I love it. I love that. The Perfect Game. You know, what's he been in the league 25 years or something? It's just great. I love baseball movies. I love baseball. I don't like covering baseball necessarily every single day, but I do love the game.
Don't Do This is coming up next. Can we bring back Matt Kemp's comments again?
Sure, yeah, let's bring it back.
And talk a little bit more. We did it in our open, but we really need to dig in to some what I thought were just inane. It, absolutely.
Field of Dreams isn't cheesy. I take that back. It's corny.
It's very corny.
Very corny. And that's a pun. Corn. I get it. All right, we'll talk about Matt Kemp and more next on Don't Do This with Ben and Woods after a check of Pepper's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, now.
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Don't Do This. A couple of stories that make you shake your head. From the world of sports, and I was truly shaking my head last night when I saw this podcast quote come into my timeline. And I don't even, what's the pivot? I don't even know what.
I've never heard of the pivot.
Well, I had
before.
Not heard of this podcast, but you've got Matt Kemp sitting there with what I thought was one of the most ridiculous, inane takes about his time with the San Diego Padres.
Well, and kind of an embarrassing one if you're him, you know? If you're him, I thought it was more embarrassing to him than the media or fans or anything like that.
When I got traded to Atlanta from San Diego, man, I was like super happy because I wanted to get out of San Diego because it was weird. It was just weird vibes. I just don't think San Diego is one of the places that like, San Diego is a beautiful place. But just like for me at that time, a baseball player, you know, there like, I was used to, like, being in L.A. and people holding you accountable, especially the media.
Yeah.
Like, the media be like, hey, why you suck right now? Right. Where you be like, all right, man, I got to get these off my back. Like, in San Diego, the first month and a half, I was terrible. I'm at my locker like this. Nobody bothered me, asking me questions. I was like, I need to go somewhere where it, like, matters.
So getting to Atlanta, though, and
okay. When I got traded to... Oops.
We need Bill Plaschke to move down to San Diego and hold these guys accountable.
I guess, man. The motivation of needing the media to yell at you to be better. I don't need that. I'm more of a self-motivated person. I like to win. Very much like to win. It's important to me. Competitive, you know, and I don't make $24 million a year either.
Has that sentiment always been around?
I think,
like,
so.
Like, we're when the Chargers had a disappointing season or a early playoff exit, was LaDainian Tomlinson coming out and just, yeah, you know, I just wish the media held us accountable a little
right.
bit better.
I don't remember any of that. I remember the Chargers being very thin-skinned about criticism from the media. Well,
The
Padres have been very, let's be honest, when there is criticism, they don't react well to it. Take in point Eric Hosmer's tenure with the Padres.
I was in that scrum when Jeff Sanders asked him that question. I was there, and I watched his face, and I go, well, that's not how you react. That's not what you do. And is it because we're not grinding on them so hard every single day that question seems a little bit out of pocket? Maybe. I don't know. But
I mean, can people be motivated by trying to prove other people wrong?
Absolutely.
Is that a motivational factor?
Yes.
So in that sense, could someone say,
but it's not,
hey,
it's,
being constantly criticized by the media gives me a little extra incentive to prove them wrong and that I am a good player. Yeah, I guess that's possible. I would like to think that getting paid a ton of money and having a chance to, you know, leave a legacy and win a championship is way more motivational than trying to prove what one writer or radio host or television host happened to say about you or a question you didn't like. But I guess to each his own. And I have to take Matt Kemp for his word that he's being honest when he says he felt like he didn't play well because he wasn't being held accountable enough by the local media when he was here. I still don't think it's necessarily our responsibility to hold players accountable. Well, they have coaches, they have front office people whose job it is to hold players accountable.
You have the guy in the mirror, too, which is the most important guy to be accountable to. That's it. It's the, you know, again, well, it's we're seeing a lot of, obviously he gambled because there's DraftKings sponsorships, billboards out in center field or whatever. No, he gambled because he gambled and he broke the rules. Matt Kemp, as Jay points out, also said he didn't give full effort here. Todd Strain from NBC tweeted last night, Matt Kemp had a recliner in Andy Green's office that you weren't allowed into. Don't tell me you're out there ready to face the media every day. Same with
just
Eric Hosmer.
Just sitting there looking around.
Anybody? No.
What is anybody want to talk to,
man? And look, I'll fully submit it's a weird part of sports media is having to go to your locker every day. I think it's weird. I would hate to do it walking out of this room every day, but that's the nature of the beast. Now, you give me $23 million, I'll answer questions every day. Every day. But I'm also a guy that wants to be accountable. And if I screw up and if I have a bad show, I'll tell you, first to say, I was terrible today. I've said it 1,000 times, probably more than I should. But it's just...
You wouldn't blame the tier ones for holding you accountable for your show?
Absolutely not, man. Absolutely not. So, yeah, it stinks. That's a crap take. But I will go in a different direction off to the Windy City where this beef has been brewing. We've told you about the guys from 670 The Score. And White Sox broadcaster John Schifrin, and how John Schifrin was on the air saying, hey, listen, if those radio guys rip you, nobody cares. They suck anyway, right? And then the guys from The Score getting all butthurt about it. And it's been a war of words between these guys. So then you've got the meeting of the White Sox and the Cubs. And so what does that mean? That means everybody's together. That means the guys from 670 The Score are in the press box. They popped in to actually introduce themselves and shake hands with John Schifrin. And they said, look, we've been talking about his interesting choices as the White Sox broadcaster. He's turned down interview opportunities. You went viral for the critique of Bill Veeck. You said you wanted to be the one to make the intro for the show. You wanted to be the one to do it. I wasn't going to deny you that. I've thought about what critiques are fair, what kind of critiques are not. Most of us want to have a direct conversation. So he walks into the TV booth to say hello, man, like extend his hand.
An olive branch.
An olive branch, if you will. He says, I opened the TV booth. There was John. Stepped up, extended my arm. I said, hey, John Schifrin, Matt Spiegel from 670 Score. He patted my arm on the side with the back of his hand and said, hey, buddy, how you doing? And walked out. He said, that was the extent of my interaction. Tried to shake his hand. You know, if he wants to MF me to my face, I'm right here for it. Then his co-host said, turning down a handshake, that's dirty. That's Bush League. You don't have to come on, but extending the handshake and him blowing it off, that's just weak. This is never going to end between these guys. I mean, it is, it's as juicy of sports broadcasting drama as we get.
Do we need to get into some beef with someone else?
Jesse?
Ooh. Ooh.
He would eviscerate us.
Yeah, that's...
Eviscerate.
I don't want to punch above my weight class.
Yeah. He would eviscerate us. So...
I feel like me and Tony Gwynn Jr. are starting something.
I feel a little
kind of in the round tables.
I can't wait for today.
Could
continue today?
I think so. Oh, see if we take our beef to the next level. Finally, oh, by the way, extra don't do this to the White Sox, who have matched their franchise record now with 13 consecutive losses, and the Cubs passing the Padres for the second wild card spot yesterday with their win over the White Sox. They're back to 500. All right, do this moment.
DD mega doo-doo.
And I thought it was a doo-doo this moment for baseball, and you can feel good about it as a Padres fan because it didn't lead to anything good for the Dodgers. But the Paul Skeens, Shohei Ohtani, like, fight, round versus round. Ohtani faces Skeens, first time up, Skeens blows him away with 300-plus mile-an-hour fastballs.
Awesome.
Just the rookie sensation with the electric arm comes in. But then the next time... Shohei Ohtani gets him on like a 102-mile-an-hour pitch and hits a home run. It truly was great theater baseball last night.
It was Tungsten O'Doyle, though. It was Shohei Ohtani steps up, hits a two-run homer, and the Pirates or the Dodgers are now trailing 7-2 or whatever.
Yeah, after losing 1-0 yesterday, Dodgers lose 10-6 to the Pirates. Pirates are going for the sweep today.
Dodgers are what, 12-12 in their last 24.
Yeah, is there a chance that that they might want to make some changes with that team, even managerial? If they get swept today, are they hitting the panic button the way the Padres fans are hitting the panic button after getting swept by
the Angels? I doubt it. I hope not, man. I hope not.
Getting swept by a sub 500 team that you think you should be beating. It's not a concern. It's a concern for the Padres, but not a concern for the Dodgers.
Oh, I mean, look, they. They're not going to panic and fire Dave Roberts on June 6th or 7th. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
I really don't.
I'm sure you guys talked about this. Did I see over the weekend or some report that the Dodgers are looking to add some star power at the trade deadline?
Yeah, they're going to be in the mix for...
It's one of the funniest things I've ever read.
To go with their gutty group of underdogs that they've put together.
It's maybe incredible. Like Freddie Freeman, star or two on that team. Mookie Betts, Tyler Glasnow.
Yamamoto. I mean, on and on. I saw that. It was like a still shot of Friedman and a presser, and he's like this. And it was like, they need outfield, they need this, they need that. But listen, the crap part is they're going 500, 12-12, and we're out here going 500, which is terrible. You could have really made some ground in the division. And that would be egg I would love to wear on my face. If you could go, if they start playing really bad baseball, you start playing well, and you actually give them a run for their money for the division.
Well, I mean,
I thought was out of the realm of possibility.
If the Padres had just taken care of business.
Yeah.
In these last four games, had scored, two more runs in each game, done what we thought they were going to do, finished off the Royals, swept the Angels, they'd be three games out of first place right now. Instead, they're a fairly distant seven, and you don't really see any, path right now to catching up. But you had a chance. The Dodgers gave you a couple of weeks here where you could have made up some ground, and you didn't. So now you're still just kind of trying to battle for a wild card spot instead of a division title at this moment. And that's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's open the phone lines, 833-288-0973. If you want to call in, comment on anything you've heard so far about the San Diego Padres, we certainly can. Paulie also had a good idea. He thinks that I should crack into my store of roundtable topics early and pick one question
I'm sick to talk of you about coming up with such good content.
Yeah, he holds it for
the round table.
For an hour, we don't even get ratings on as a show, which makes no sense to me.
Like, why don't you just spread the riches a little bit?
All right, I've got a number of different questions that I was going to hold for the round table, but I will break one of those out for you.
If it's a good topic and people want to hear what Annie and Tony and Chris and Craig think, then they can tune in.
They'll get their chance later this morning. But you guys...
Which means I get to do it twice.
We'll get your chance. Well, we can skip you in the this later this morning if you'd want.
Fine by me.
All right, we'll get to that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
JR tweets saying, can't wait to hear from Ben and Woods say that the Padres, though they got swept again by an SC team, is still not bad yet. Soft media, one word. JR, no one said that. They suck right now. They stink. It was a crap week. It was terrible. And it's the players' fault.
Last week was a pretty good week. It was also to the players' credit last week. I'm not taking, as a media member, I will not take any credit for good play.
No, zero.
But then I also shouldn't have to take any blame for bad play.
That's exactly right.
But I promise you, I will take zero credit for good play.
None whatsoever.
And I think you'd all recognize that if, you know, in 2022, if Woods and I went around and said, Padres run to the National League Championship Series, it's really because we mediated really well that year.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous.
It's absurd.
That would be absolutely asinine. Yeah, if we tried to take credit,
we're not Stephen A. Smith
for anything good that happened with the Padres.
Nothing. Not a.
But conversely, that also means you can't really blame us when bad things happen to the team as well.
I Matthew says you were soft on them during every interview and phone call. I mean, yeah, I'd like to really deliver hard hitting questions. We've had some knockdown dragouts with AJ Preller, I think, in the past. But again, you know, when it pertains to AJ's a tough interview. I'll be the first to admit it. He's a tough interview. You're not going to get a lot out of him. But you got to ask the questions, certainly. And Mike Shildt, I think the tenor of tomorrow's interview can't be a positive one. They have not been playing well. And I think pushing back on Mike Shildt saying that the base running instincts have been good, I think that's an easy question on my behalf to say, how do you say that? Like, you guys run into outs that are right in front of you. What can you do to change that as the skipper of a big league ball club? So listen, man, if I'm not doing my job well, I really do try and I really do care about it. I want to do the best job that I can possibly do, but I'm always just going to be myself. And if I'm pissy, you'll know I'm pissy. If I'm not pissy, I'm not going to fake pissiness. So many guys do that. And so many guys do that in this town. And does it not come off as performative to everybody?
Yeah, to me it does. If you can't recognize that there are some ups and downs in a baseball season, you're just a clown. You don't know what you're talking
about. Correct. There's going to be ups and downs.
There also are legitimate causes for concern. And, you know, I think we're trying to address some of them. Woods is talking about base running gaffes that continue to happen. I'm talking about a very concerning lack of production against left-handed pitching and a lack of extra base hits and home runs that could keep this team from going anywhere near where they want to go if they can't start doing more of it. I also know that they would love to hit more home runs. They would absolutely no one's turning it down if they could actually run into a few balls and hit some home runs. They would win more games if they did so. So you have to moderate your anger with the realization that you also can't just go off the handle every single time a team loses a game. This has been a bad week.
It's been a really, really,
really bad week.
It's been a really rough week, but you're also going to, again, when you're going to let the players off the hook. And that's kind of my whole basis is like, it's always on the players. Always. I always get mad at Yuki Matsui, or I always get mad at Eniel De Los Santos. I rarely get mad at Mike Shildt. Rarely. Like the manager I rarely get upset with. Last night, I did not understand pinch hitting Jose Azokar. I didn't. I had no idea why in the lefty-righty matchup, whatever. I did not understand that. He's not a good hitter. You know, and does that fall on AJ Preller and not Mike Shildt? He's trying to make a play there. I don't know, but I'm always going to.
Well, normally you would have saved Donovan Solano for that situation,
but
he
got hurt.
He had to go in for Manny,
so
who had gotten hurt.
I just think I'm always going to say it's on the players to execute. They're the ones that make the lion's share of the money. They need to execute. And if you need me to name them, I'll rip through the entire roster, because really no one is doing everything right now. No one. And it goes from Jake Cronenworth. It goes from Camposano. It goes to Higashioka. It goes to Fernando Tatis, who did have a nice game last night. It goes to Jackson Merrill. It goes to Jerickson Profar, who's had a really nice season. No one's doing everything.
Robert
right
Ford
right
is
now.
Probably the only player on
he's pretty much the only infallible one. But again, without contributions from Cronenworth and Profar early, this team's not even where they are now, right? But those guys got to pick it up, man. It's on them. They're the ones that swing. They're the ones that decide to swing. They're the ones that decide to take extra bags. They're the ones that execute pitches or don't execute pitches. That's who I blame. I blame the players. And guess who else blames the players? They do. Unless you're a guy like Matt Kemp, and then you blame the media. Or a guy like Cameron Maben, who is terrible here. Terrible. And he's talking about how the fans aren't mean enough like they are in New York. Michael King came out a couple weeks ago. I don't think we talked about this. He's like, oh, no, they're in my DMs in San Diego with terrible, terrible threats. That's not the right way to do it. If you think that's the right way to do it, you're not my kind of people.
Somebody in the chat a few minutes ago was saying, like, oh, why are guys like Maben and Kemp saying these things about
San Diego?
Because
they were terrible here.
It's because they were terrible.
And it was a different era.
Soft.
Yeah, and it was a different era here, too.
But they're outliers, is my point. Like, they have a podcast, they have a video camera, a clip goes, you know, viral on your timeline, and that's why it's being discussed. I don't think that's the overall sentiment from former players that once played for the Padres, though.
Yeah, and again, Viva Padres says, these millionaires have other problems if they're blaming the media and fans for their lack of performance. Bro, yeah, our energy on this show is not
no
going
one,
to
No
change.
Current Padre has said, you know, the media is the reason they're struggling.
No.
These are all former players that, you know, have made this comment. So I'm not saying that any of the current Padres are saying, yeah, they're making it too easy on us.
And again, I saw this last night, East County Chris. I remember on Scott and BR years ago, Matt Kemp's mom DM'd Scott for being mean to Matt Kemp. So, like, the media, it is what it is. It's such an easy fall guy for the lack of execution from our players. I don't want to wear their crap performance, nor should I have to. They should. Right? They're the ones that need to wear it. I've said it like a mantra this year. When people started booing, people started clutching their pearls, I'm like, boo. Hell yeah, boo. Let them have it, man. That's garbage play right there.
And Michael King said, yeah, let us have it.
Let us have
and
it.
We want.
Man,
yeah,
he said, I get it. Boo, boo, boo. So I totally, you know, again, I don't want to come off as defensive, but I also, like, use some logic here. That's all I'm asking. Use a little bit of logic here. When it comes to the whole hold them accountable thing, they suck right now. What else do you want me to say? They're terrible right now. That was one of the worst stretches of baseball I've seen this year, certainly. But even in the last couple of years, it was a terrible stretch of baseball for the San Diego Padres. They did not look like they cared about winning those games or wanted to win those games. What else do you want me to say?
And even the players have said.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
Jerkson said we're finding ways to lose games. Yeah, we've heard
Jake
this
Jake said
before.
We're playing down to our opponents.
But I'll tell you, I'm not benching Jake. I'm not benching Profar. I'm not benching any of these guys. They got to figure it out, you know? But it's not going to be me that gets them going. It's not going to be Ben that gets them going, you know? It's not going to be Hogwatch that gets them going. It's not going to be anybody that gets them going, except for themselves. They're the ones that got to execute, not me. I'm executing right now. So it's just pathetic. It's a pathetic, pathetic excuse. Just like blaming a new manager every single year is a pathetic excuse. It's on the players. It's always been on the players. It always will be on the players. I don't know their work ethic. I'm not in there. I don't know what they're doing to improve themselves on a daily basis. From what I understand, they work hard at their craft. From what I understand, they do care about winning. They're just not.
Margie in the chat has the solution. I hope this is tongue in cheek. He says, we need a clean house, and it starts with Mud Grant. He's been in forever.
You must be out of your mind. Players need to play.
All right, I want to change the tone a bit. So we're going to check traffic. When we come back, I'm going to crack open a roundtable question, but I'm going to make it my seventh inning stretch question, just so we can get a little bit of lighthearted joviality into the proceedings this morning. Do that after Vicky's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we have our 97.3 The Fan, San Diego Roundtable Pizza, Padres Roundtable coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. The format is commercial-free. It is 60 minutes of uninterrupted Padres discussion, except for usually around 10:40, 10:45 or so. I have my seventh inning stretch question. I break something completely unrelated to baseball or the Padres out just to kind of get everyone to kind of reset and lighten up a little bit during what can often be a grueling and intense hour of radio. So this is what I'm going to tease for you guys this morning. Here's our seventh inning stretch question, and it is the least important question I think I've ever asked.
Looking forward to this.
Gambling, of course, has been in the news lately. Here's your question. Woods, Paul, what do you consider your lucky number and why? Everybody has a lucky number, right?
Yeah.
What's your lucky number, Woods?
22.
22. Why is 22 your lucky number? Obviously, it must predate Juan Soto's arrival with the San Diego Padres.
It definitely does. When I was a kid and I was playing baseball, Little League and whatnot, I loved Don Mattingly. He was like my first love. You couldn't get 23. No one could get 23 because everybody always, with coach's kid, got 23. So I went to 22. And I was looking around baseball for a time. I'm like, who's a really good 22? Will Clark he wore 22. And I watched him and, you know, the natural, the swing and all that. And I was a very impressionable young man. And I just thought, man, I'm not a left-handed hitter, but that sure is a very smooth swing. I also like to play first base. So I went with 22. I've always gone with 22. And that's been my number forever. I switched it up this year for the tier ones. And it's been a little odd not being 20. First time I've ever not been number 22. So I picked number one for tier one.
I love this from Tom. He says, 22 is mine too. I was born on 12/22 at 2:22 p.m.
Oh, that'll
That's
do
a
it.
Great story yeah. right there. Paulie, what's your lucky number?
32. And fairly similar reasons, although it just kind of happened randomly. Like, I noticed middle school and into high school, like the first like three or four teams that I made, whether it was baseball, basketball, whatever, I always was number 32, just randomly. I got number 32.
You got it.
All right, I guess this is my number now. So I just rolled with number 32.
When the coach handed out the jerseys, you just happened to have 32 on the back.
Yeah, like the first like three or four teams. And then I was like, all right, I'm noticing a trend here. I'm going to rock number 32, especially in like basketball. Dude, Shaq wore number 32.
Yeah, Shaq is 32. Was he 32 or 32?
He was 34 the Lakers, okay. And then 32, I think, with the Heat and the Suns later
what
on
about you,
career.
Benjamin?
Yeah, you know, so a lot of people do choose the number of their favorite athlete, especially sports fans, to be their lucky number. And I do like 19 as a number because of Tony Gwynn, and I consider it a lucky number. I will have to say, though, I do judge a little bit. When someone says 7 is their lucky number, that feels a little just...
Give up-y.
13 seems a little like I'm edgy. Like, I know Manny's 13, but that's supposed to be an unlucky number, but I'm making it my lucky number. Yeah. You're trying to be a little edgy. Mine is strange. Mine's 47.
I thought you were going to say 69. 69.
No, it's 47.
Overrated.
And the reason for 47 is a bizarre one. So it has to do with where I went to college. At Pomona College, there is a folklore about the number 47 because sometime back in like the 1960s, there was like a weird math professor who like wrote out this entire giant funny proof that said all numbers are equal to each other and thus all numbers are equal to the number 47.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, everyone started noticing there are like weird instances of the number 47 everywhere you go at my college. And I started to become obsessed with like finding 47s. And then there are people actually who like are in the entertainment industry who went to my school and they carry on the joke. So you will often find in episodes of random TV shows, like when they just need a random number, 47 pops up a lot and it's a little nod to where they went to college at Pomona College. But 47,
interesting.
I kind of use as a lucky number when it comes to, like, if I ever play the lotto, I always try to put 47 in there.
Do you
I don't know that
lotto?
It's actually. When it's, like, over $1 billion, okay. Dollars, I will get a couple of tickets. So 47 is the one that I consider my lucky number.
I like it.
All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some Throwback Thursday for us. It is a Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno Saris will join us at 8:35. And your phone call is coming up next, 833-288-0973. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
JR tweets in, can't wait to hear from Ben and Woods say that the Padres, though they got swept again by an SC team, is still not bad yet. Soft media, one word. JR, no one said that. They suck right now. They stink. It was a crap week. It was terrible. And it's the players' fault.
Last week was a pretty good week. It was also to the players' credit.
Correct.
Last week. I'm not taking, as a media member, I will not take any credit for good play.
No, zero.
But
none.
Then I also shouldn't have to take any blame for bad play.
That's exactly right.
But I promise you, like, I will take zero credit for
none.
Good play.
None whatsoever.
And I think you'd all recognize that if, you know, in 2022, if Woods and I went around and said, Padres run to the National League Championship Series, it's really because we mediated really well that year.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous.
It's absurd.
That would be absolutely asinine.
Yeah,
if we tried to take credit,
we're not Stephen A. Smith
for anything, you know, good, I mean, like, that happened with the Padres.
Nothing, not a.
But conversely,
thing.
That also means you can't really blame us when bad things happen to the team as well.
I just, Matthew says you were soft on them during every interview and phone call. I mean, yeah, I'd like to really deliver hard-hitting questions. We've had some knockdown dragouts with AJ Preller, I think, in the past. But again, you know, when it pertains to AJ's a tough interview. I'll be the first to admit it. He's a tough interview. You're not going to get a lot out of him. But you got to ask the questions, certainly. And Mike Shildt, I think the tenor of tomorrow's interview can't be a positive one. They have not been playing well. And I think pushing back on Mike Shildt saying that the base running instincts have been good, I think that's an easy question on my behalf to say, how do you say that? Like, you guys run into outs that are right in front of you. I, what can you do to change that as the skipper of a big league ball club? So listen, man, if I'm not doing my job well, I really do try and I really do care about it. I want to do the best job that I can possibly do, but I'm always just going to be myself. And if I'm pissy, you'll know I'm pissy. If I'm not pissy, I'm not going to fake pissiness. So many guys do that. And so many guys do that in this town. And it just, does it not come off as performative to everybody?
Yeah, to me it does. If you can't recognize that there are some ups and downs in a baseball season, you're just a clown. You don't know what you're talking
about. Correct. There's going to be ups and downs.
There also are legitimate causes for concern. And, you know, I think we're trying to address some of them. Woods is talking about base running gaffes that continue to happen. I'm talking about a very concerning lack of production against left-handed pitching and a lack of extra base hits and home runs that could keep this team from going anywhere near where they want to go if they can't start doing more of it. I also know that they would love to hit more home runs. They would absolutely, no one's turning it down if they could actually run into a few balls and hit some home runs. They would win more games if they did so. So you have to moderate your anger with the realization that you also can't just go off the handle every single time a team loses a game. This has been a bad week.
It's been a really, really,
really bad week.
It's been a really rough week, but you're also going to, again, when you're going to let the players off the hook. And that's kind of my whole basis, is like, it's always on the players. Always. I always get mad at Yuki Matsui, or I always get mad at Eniel De Los Santos. I rarely get mad at Mike Shildt. Rarely. Like, the manager I rarely get upset with. Last night, I did not understand pinch hitting Jose Azokar. I didn't. I had no idea why, in the lefty-righty matchup, whatever. I did not understand that. He's not a good hitter. You know, and does that fall on AJ Preller and not Mike Shildt? He's trying to make a play there. I don't know, but I'm always going to.
Well, normally you would have saved Donovan Solano for that situation,
but
Manny
got hurt.
He had to go in for Manny,
so,
who had gotten hurt.
I just think I'm always going to say it's on the players to execute. They're the ones that make the lion's share of the money. They need to execute. And if you need me to name them, I'll rip through the entire roster, because really no one is doing everything right now. No one. And it goes from Jake Cronenworth. It goes from Camposano. It goes to Higashioka. It goes to Fernando Tatis, who did have a nice game last night. It goes to Jackson Merrill. It goes to Jurickson Profar, who's had a really nice season. No one's doing everything
Robert
right.
Robert Suarez is probably the only player on the entire roster he's damn near that you infallible. Can't say yeah. anything bad again about right
he's
now.
He's pretty much the only infallible one. But again, without contributions from Cronenworth and Profar early, this team's not even where they are now, right? But those guys got to pick it up, man. It's on them. They're the ones that swing. They're the ones that decide to swing. They're the ones that decide to take extra bags. They're the ones that execute pitches or don't execute pitches. That's who I blame. I blame the players. And guess who else blames the players? They do. Unless you're a guy like Matt Kemp, and then you blame the media. Or a guy like Cameron Maven, who was terrible here. Terrible. And he's talking about how the fans aren't mean enough like they are in New York. Michael King came out a couple weeks ago. I don't even think we talked about this. He's like, oh, no, they're in my DMs in San Diego with terrible, terrible threats. That's not the right way to do it. If you think that's the right way to do it, you're not my kind of people.
Somebody in the chat a few minutes ago was saying, like, oh, why are guys like Maven and Kemp saying these things about San
Diego?
Because
they were terrible here.
It's because they were terrible.
And it was a different era. Yeah, and it was a different era here, too.
But they're outliers, is my point. Like, they have a podcast, they have a video camera, a clip goes, you know, viral on your timeline, and that's why it's being discussed. I don't think that's the overall sentiment from former players that once played for the Padres,
though. Yeah, and again, Viva Padres says, these millionaires have other problems if they're blaming the media and fans for their lack of performance. Bro, yeah, our energy on this show is not
going to
change.
No current Padre has said, you know, the media is the reason they're struggling.
No.
These are all former players that, you know, have made this comment. So I'm not saying that any of the current Padres are saying, yeah, they're making it too easy on us.
And again, I saw this last night, East County Chris. I remember on Scott and BR years ago, Matt Kemp's mom DM'd Scott for being mean to Matt Kemp. So, like, the media, it is what it is. It's such an easy fall guy for the lack of execution from our players. I don't want to wear their crap performance, nor should I have to. They should. Right? They're the ones that need to wear it. I've said it like a mantra this year. When people started booing, people started clutching their pearls, I'm like, boo. Hell yeah, boo. Let them have it, man. That's garbage play right there.
And Michael King said, yeah, let us have it.
Let us have it.
We want.
Man, he said, I get it. Boo, boo, boo. So I totally, you know, again, I don't want to come off as defensive, but I also, like, use some logic here. That's all I'm asking. Use a little bit of logic here. When it comes to the whole hold them accountable thing, they suck right now. What else do you want me to say? They're terrible right now. That was one of the worst stretches of baseball I've seen this year, certainly. But even in the last couple of years, this is a terrible stretch of baseball for the San Diego Padres. They did not look like they cared about winning those games or wanted to win those games. What else do you want me to say?
And even the players have said,
yeah.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
Jerkson said we're finding ways to lose games. Yeah, we've heard
Jake
this before.
Jake said we're playing down to our opponents.
But I'll tell you, I'm not benching Jake. I'm not benching Profar. I'm not benching any of these guys. They got to figure it out, you know? But it's not going to be me that gets them going. It's not going to be Ben that gets them going, you know? It's not going to be Hogwatch that gets them going. It's not going to be anybody that gets them going, except for themselves. They're the ones that got to execute, not me. I'm executing right now. So it's just pathetic. It's a pathetic, pathetic excuse. Just like blaming a new manager every single year is a pathetic excuse. It's on the players. It's always been on the players. It always will be on the players. I don't know their work ethic. I'm not in there. I don't know what they're doing to improve themselves on a daily basis. From what I understand, they work hard at their craft. From what I understand, they do care about winning. They're just not.
Margie in the chat has the solution. I hope this is tongue-in-cheek. He says, we need a clean house, and it starts with Mud Grant. He's been in forever.
You must be out of your mind. Players need to play.
All right, I want to change the tone a bit. So we're going to check traffic. When we come back, I'm going to crack open a roundtable question, but I'm going to make it my seventh-inning stretch question just so we can get a little bit of lighthearted joviality into the proceedings this morning. Do that after Vicky's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we have our 97.3 The Fan, San Diego Roundtable Pizza, Padres Roundtable coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. The format is commercial-free. It is 60 minutes of uninterrupted Padres discussion, except for usually around 10:40, 10:45 or so. I have my seventh inning stretch question. I break something completely unrelated to baseball or the Padres out just to kind of get everyone to kind of reset and lighten up a little bit during what can often be a grueling and intense hour of radio. So this is what I'm going to tease for you guys this morning. Here's our seventh inning stretch question, and it is the least important question I think I've ever asked.
Looking forward to this.
Gambling, of course, has been in the news lately. Here's your question. Woods, Paul, what do you consider your lucky number and why? Everybody has a lucky number, right?
Yeah.
What's your lucky number, Woods?
22.
Why is 22 your lucky number? Obviously, it must predate Juan Soto's arrival with the San Diego Padres.
It definitely does. When I was a kid and I was playing baseball, Little League and whatnot, I loved Don Mattingly. He was like my first love. You couldn't get 23. No one could get 23 because everybody always, with coach's kid, got 23. So I went to 22. And I was looking around baseball for a time. I'm like, who's a really good 22? Will Clark he wore 22. And I watched him and, you know, the natural, the swing and all that. And I was a very impressionable young man. And I just thought, man, I'm not a left-handed hitter, but that sure is a very smooth swing. I also like to play first base. So I went with 22. I've always gone with 22. And that's been my number forever. I switched it up this year for the tier ones. And it's been a little odd not being 20. First time I've ever not been number 22. So I picked number one for tier one.
I love this from Tom. He says, 22 is mine too. I was born on 12/22 at 2:22 p.m.
Oh, that'll do it.
That's a great story right there. Paulie, what's your lucky number?
32. And fairly similar reasons, although it just kind of happened randomly. Like, I noticed middle school and into high school, like the first like three or four teams that I made, whether it was baseball, basketball, whatever, I always was number 32, just randomly. I got number 32.
You got it.
All right, I guess this is my number now. So I just rolled with number 32.
When the coach handed out the jerseys, it just happened to have 32 on the back.
Yeah, like the first like three or four teams. And then I was like, all right, I'm noticing a trend here. I'm going to rock number 32, especially in like basketball. Did Shaq wear number 32?
Yeah, Shaq is 32. Was he 32 or
33? He was 34 with the Lakers, okay. And then 32, I think, with the Heat and the Suns, yeah. Like later
what
on
about
his
you,
career.
Benjamin?
Yeah, you know, so a lot of people do choose the number of their favorite athlete, especially sports fans, to be their lucky number. And I do like 19 as a number because of Tony Gwynn, and I consider it a lucky number. I will have to say, though, I do judge a little bit. When someone says 7 is their lucky number, that feels a little just...
Give-uppy.
13 seems a little like I'm edgy. Like, I know Manny's 13, but that's supposed to be an unlucky number, but I'm making it my lucky number. Yeah. You're trying to be a little edgy. Mine is strange. Mine's 47.
I thought you were going to say 69.
No, it's 47.
Overrated.
And the reason for 47 is a bizarre one. So it has to do with where I went to college. At Pomona College, there is a folklore about the number 47 because sometime back in like the 1960s, there was like a weird math professor who like wrote out this entire giant funny proof that said all numbers are equal to each other and thus all numbers are equal to the number 47.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, everyone started noticing there are like weird instances of the number 47 everywhere you go at my college. And I started to become obsessed with like finding 47s. And then there are people actually who like are in the entertainment industry who went to my school and they carry on the joke. So you will often find in episodes of random TV shows, like when they just need a random number, 47 pops up a lot and it's a little nod to where they went to college at Pomona College. But 47,
interesting.
I kind of use as a lucky number when it comes to, like, if I ever play the lotto, I always try to put 47 in there.
Do you
I don't
play
know
the
that
lotto?
It's actually. When it's, like, over $1 billion, okay. Dollars, I will get a couple of tickets. So 47 is the one that I consider my lucky number.
I like it.
All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some Throwback Thursday for us. It is a Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno Saris will join us at 8:35. And your phone call is coming up next, 833-288-0973. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.